Impact. Close up.
NICAP, the National Investigation Committee on Aerial Phenomenon. Who are they, and what is their purpose? These and other questions will be asked and answered tonight on Impact Close Up. Your reporter is Fred Patrick. NICAP was formed in 1956. Their main goals, as quoted from the UFO Evidence, which is a documented report from NICAP, are scientific investigation and research of reported unidentified flying objects and encouragement of full reporting to the public by responsible authorities of all information which the government has accumulated on this subject. This reporter made a trip to Washington, D.C. recently in order to gather more details on this non-profit organization, which has taken it upon itself to bring this very controversial subject before the public. We talked with several members of NICAP, including the acting director of NICAP, Mr. Richard Hall. We asked Mr. Hall exactly what his title was and what it represents.
I'm the acting director of NICAP. The director is Major Donald E. Kehoe, Marine Corps retired. I'm the executive officer of the organization, and I supervise all the investigations and the reporting of information.
We next asked Mr. Hall to explain a little further exactly what NICAP is and the purpose of NICAP.
NICAP stands for the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. We were formed in order to investigate reported unidentified flying objects, better known as flying saucers. We want to gather all reliable information on this subject and make it public. We have approximately 6,000 members. We're growing rapidly. In the past few months, we've gained about 300 members. They are a true cross-section of American life. You name a category, and we have a member in it. We have pilots, scientists, engineers, clergymen, and all sorts of people.
The governing structure of NICAP consists of a board of directors and a large number of experts from different fields of government work and scientific work. We asked Mr. Hall along this line to give us the name of some of his board of governors.
Mr. J.B. Hartranft, Jr., who is here in Washington, he's the president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. He was the founder of the U.S. Air Guard, which is now the Civil Air Patrol. We have a Virginia board member, Colonel Joseph Bryan III in Richmond, who was the former special assistant to the Secretary of the Air Force. Dr. Charles P. Olivier, who was the president of the American Meteor Society and the former head of Flower and Cook Observatory in Pennsylvania. These are just a few. We have 10 or 12 board members and a panel of advisors, a few dozen scientists and engineers.
We then asked Mr. Hall about publications from NICAP.
We have a membership newsletter which is published bimonthly. It's called the UFO Investigator, and we have from time to time published booklets and pamphlets.
Also, a publication of NICAP is known as the UFO Evidence. We asked him about this.
The UFO Evidence is a documentary report which is a one-shot affair. We may publish supplements of it later on. This covers the whole UFO subject from World War II through 1963. The end of 1963 was our cutoff date. We're now planning a 1964 supplement.
We next asked Mr. Hall if any of these publications have been submitted to Congress for any reason.
Yes, we have. In fact, the UFO Evidence documentary report was submitted to every member of Congress in summer of 1964. We have also distributed it, to universities and other places, but we're particularly interested in having Congress look into this entire matter. There are some congressmen who feel quite strongly that there is a lot to this subject and that it ought to be probed. We have had difficulty in finding a committee chairman who is willing to stick his neck out a little bit and do something about it. I can read you a few of the remarks. Senator Paul Douglas of Illinois said he was encouraged to see the concentrated efforts of NICAP to have all of the facts about UFOs brought out to the public. Quote, I will certainly offer my contribution of time and effort to get to the bottom of these reports, unquote. Senator Harrison A. Williams, Jr. of New Jersey stated, quote, the UFO evidence report is indeed an impressive document and should be given the most careful consideration, unquote. There are a number of other congressmen and senators who feel the same.
I received several back copies of their bi-monthly publication of NICAP's The UFO Investigator. One of these publications, marked April and May of 1961, stated on the front page in bulletin form that NICAP has been assured of an official UFO investigation, including a thorough probe of the Air Force secrecy. As now planned, this will come within 2 or 3 months, but increasing pressure will probably speed it up. And it went on to say that the official investigators will evaluate verified UFO reports, contradictory Air Force explanations of sightings, and several other things. This investigation never took place. The reasons we do not know. However, in my interview, I asked Mr. Hall if, in his opinion, there was any chance of a congressional investigation perhaps this year.
I think there is an excellent chance this year because there is a great deal of public interest in the subject, and the congressmen and senators are getting a great many letters on it. In fact, it was recently reported in an area newspaper that Senator Thomas J. Dodd of Connecticut is now considering looking into the subject and holding some hearings.
You're listening to Impact Close-Up on W. Lee Radio. Tonight's subject, NICAP, the National Investigation Committee on Aerial Phenomenon. This reporter has long been interested in the subject of UFOs, and I was extremely interested in probing the subject further. Upon arriving in Washington to visit the NICAP offices, the first thing I did was to get lost, which isn't very unusual for me. Finally, the offices were discovered, and I proceeded to walk up to the third floor of an old hotel building. I entered a room stacked with files and loose papers of every description. There were envelopes with addresses reading simply, Flying Saucers, care of Washington, D.C. The post office knew where to send them. There was a map showing reported sightings of UFOs this past year, back copies of the bi-monthly publication, The UFO Investigator, and, of course, people. People talking about flying saucers and about the Air Force and their stand on UFO subject, which seemed a little strange to me. I talked with Mr. Hall and other members present about the Air Force's stand on the UFO question. Mr. Hall's comment was,
well, the Air Force has, for the past 6 or 8 years, issued regular statements which give the impression that nothing at all out of the ordinary is going on. Nobody has seen anything unusual. They have what we consider glib explanations for many, many sightings by excellent witnesses. So they're overall attitude is to debunk the subject and deny it.
The next logical question in my mind was to ask Mr. Hall, why did the Air Force suddenly begin hushing up on the UFO question?
Well, we can only speculate. Back through about 1952, the Air Force was taking the subject very seriously, and in fact, it was reported that some very high-ranking generals in the Pentagon were responsible for the famous Life magazine article in April 1952, which left a very strong suggestion that these objects were from another planet. I think at some point along the line, the change in policy occurred where somebody felt it would be wiser not to say anything until the Air Force had all the answers. They're so far out on a limb now with their secrecy that there's no easy way out of it.
Another one of those present in the NICAP offices was Mr. Paul Dickey, who is a member of NICAP and is employed as a communications engineer for the U.S. government. We also placed this question to Mr. Dickey as to why he thought the Air Force had suddenly started censoring UFO reports.
I think basically there are several reasons. One is that it would be quite a shock to most people's ego as a person and as a nation and as a civilization to think that somebody is further advanced than we are. Number two, the government doesn't have, I don't believe anyone has all the answers, because this race of beings that has us under observation is so far advanced in technology, much further advanced than we are, and it would just not be reasonable to release all this information and say, well, I just don't know the answers, and it wouldn't be good morale. Number three, it would be pretty hard on the economy, especially the stock market, to break this information all at once. So I would say that in general, it's better that this information be leaked out to the public by bits and pieces, and that they become aware of it, and that they let it become part of their lives, something to live with, as we became aware of the hydrogen bomb and learned how to live in a world that our lives were threatened. Although I do not believe that these visitors are threatening us, we have very little indication that they're hostile to us. The few accounts of hostility have been explained in my mind as being strictly accidental cases of violence.
I then put the same question to Mr. Hall. In his opinion, did he think that the UFOs were posing any direct danger or any kind of danger whatsoever to the security of this country or to the world?
I don't think there's any direct physical danger from them, because they have apparently been around for a very long time, and there's been no open sign of hostility, and I think people who have demonstrated this kind of power, if they had any desire to conquer us or attack us, they could have done so at any time. There would have been no contest. Well, I think there is a danger if secrecy continues, for the very reason that the public will be uninformed and unaware of this. And if they suddenly encounter UFOs, or if UFOs suddenly start landing all over the place, this might result in some kind of panic due to their lack of knowledge on the subject.
From information I had read in the past, I had gotten the opinion that foreign governments looked on the UFO subject in a more liberal way, and more liberal in giving out information about UFOs. I put this question to Mr. Hall, and his reply:
they are pretty similar. For instance, in England, they have a policy almost identical to ours. They use almost exactly the same words in denying that there's anything going on. Few countries are more liberal, or have been from time to time, particularly Argentina and Brazil. Brazil, for instance, set up a high-level commission consisting of active military officers, representatives of the Brazilian Armed Services, attorneys, scientists, engineers, and they look into the subject and distribute information on it.
Upon reading the UFO evidence report, I noted that there were very few photographs of flying saucers. Most of those in the book were drawings of a photograph. There were a few exceptions where a photo was shown. I asked Mr. Hall if he thought there were any authentic photographs of UFOs available.
Yes, I do. We have some photographs. We don't have any copies of them available for distribution, but there have been various photographs of UFOs published from time to time, and a few of them come from very reliable witnesses and show some unusual things. Overall, we do not consider the photographs to be very good evidence of UFOs, particularly still photographs, because they're so easily faked. There again, it boils down to the character of the witness.
While at the offices, I was shown a copy of 10 photographs which NICAP had just received, which had been carefully examined by photographic experts to rule out any possibility of a fake photograph or have someone have been tampering with the negative. These, in other words, had, in the mind of NICAP, been stamped as authentic photographs of UFOs. 10 of them were in the pack, and I understand that they will be eventually printed up in a booklet of some sort and will be for sale. There were, needless to say, some very startling pictures in there.